The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is July 1st, if you can believe it, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials. That's www.docspreferred.com. Dr. Wong's on the show every month. In fact, he's on Friday, and straight shooter, right between the eyes. Great to have him with us, and I thank him for his sponsorship for Iceland. That's www.docspreferred.com. Melody Schoenfeld, she's another girl that we're trying to get on here more, but right now we're a little bit tight with time, but I'm hoping I can get her on, if not this month, next month. For anybody looking to get equipment, she's offering 25% off to any custom equipment when you mention Motivation and Muscle. Go out to www.evilmunkyent.com. Tell her we sent you, obviously, but you got to see this girl, 5 foot, 105 pounds. She's lethal. She's got every powerlifting record for her age. You want to see her bend steel and tear books. Awesome. She's great to be on, and I love having her on the show. So go out to www.evilmunkyent.com and tell her we sent you. Next, we have Sorenex Equipment. That's www.sorenex.com. You can call them at 803-978-2253, extension 111. As you know, Bert helped me out with a diamond bar for Iceland, which we can use in the power rack and overhead, and we thank him for that, and we hope you'll go out there and take a look at their stuff and give them a little business. That's what we're doing for everybody associated with the show. Next, Fiorello Barbell Company. We just put out a brand new top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. Very short ebook. No pictures, no gloss, nothing fancy. Basic thinking. Go out and look at it. Utilize it. Grow with it. Go out to www.fiorellobarbellco.com and check out our new. We got a brand new product coming out called the Winner's Circle. It's going to be 12. I like to call them sets, but they call them modules, and it's going to be everything from the beginnings to your thought to the processing of how to lift weights. Stuff that I've designed where I've had to train by myself. That, you know, I utilize so I wouldn't end up killing myself. There's mega routines in there, you know, stuff that you can use. You don't necessarily have to take it verbatim, but this is stuff that that I've done and had a lot of success with. There's a lot of stuff on stone training. As you know, I am trying to get through this tweak of my shoulder so I can get back to Iceland this year and finish that saga off. So there's plenty of pertinent information. You can use pieces of it and plug it in, but it's all factual. There's no BS. It's all basic. And, you know, it's not one of these things that you're going to have to buy, you know, the next 10 series of them to find out the answers you need. So go check them out. This is something we're going to really expand on down the road, and we want to get everybody involved. And the next thing we're going to talk about is sponsorship with Motivation Muscle Podcast Show. We want to promote your product or service with us. Go out to www.motivationandmuscle.com and go out and hit sponsorship. It's $300 a month, which is really very low economically. And, you know, we're reaching right now in 41 weeks. We've got over 60,000 listeners already. And I can read some of the stuff I got this morning from the UK and another listener where it's like, you know, we can't believe we found you. We love the show. Keep it up. Great work. You know, can you get Magnus for Magnuson on? You know, I got requests all over the place for people. I couldn't be happier. And as William Dinwiddie said, who's a big-time strength guy out in Oregon. He owns a gym. big stone lifter, and Mark Wechner, who is his mentor, who went to Iceland like 5 years ago and did a smoking job lifting the Husafell stone and getting around the sheep pen. You know, he said like this to me, your show is bringing all this stuff to the mainstream. And I don't like the mainstream word the way it's used a lot, but I totally understand what Will said, and that was a hell of a compliment. And that's the idea of this whole thing. We want people to learn this stuff. We want to get people involved. And as I said before, I don't care if you lift a 480-pound stone or a 100-pound stone here. You're all welcome here. And everybody's got something to lend. And I think that's been something that's been not understood, in at least around me. I've seen it a million times. You are too easy dismissing people. That's not the way it is here, and we want everybody on board. I want a million listeners. A million listeners. I mean that when I say it. So go out to motivationandmuscle.com and advertise with us. I promise you, we will get you business and grow with a company that's on its way up, and we are damn serious about this. We are domination, and we are aggression. I mean that totally. So stay tuned and come aboard with us. Well, today, it's another I'm very honored when this man has come on before. He like Bill Hinburn, these guys are a wealth of knowledge, and I love having them on. It's hard at times to be able to, you know, connect with everybody. We got Richard Soren on today in case any of you don't know, I mean, Sorenex, the number one, obviously, equipment manufacturer in the United States. He could probably tell me, maybe in the world at this point. He and his son, Bert. Bert's a regular on the show every month, and they've helped me out considerably. And Bert, I'll tell you, has been a huge supporter to the show, and I really appreciate all he's done for me. And we have his dad on today. Now, if you don't know, where I got introduced to Richard Soren was this, being a lifelong guy that's got every Milo from the first cover with Paul Anderson on it to where we are presently. That's where I learned about this gentleman, the grip master. I mean, this guy, you see him gripping blobs and all, you know, that's what really caught my eye about him. But he's also a power lifter. He does Olympic lifting. I mean, he's a coach. I mean, he's been in this stuff forever, and we got him on today. We're going to talk about the why of training. He and I both have somebody in common, though I've never met the gentleman. He was a lot further ahead of me. Obviously, I was a little kid. Was Anthony DiTillo, and Anthony's been a hero of mine forever. From, you know, buying all the old Iron Man magazines from Bill and reading about him, and I've got the two books too. To me, I always identified with Anthony DiTillo for one main reason. He always seemed like a regular guy, and I never thought he got his kudos. But Richard's going to kind of set the story straight. We're going to find out about him. He's going to go through, like, all the time he's been around lifting, what he's been around, what he's seen, what he's experienced, and what he's done to where he is today, because he just turned 65 years old. That's a milestone right there. So, Richard, I know it was a little long-winded, but welcome to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Eric, I'm to talking with you and looking forward to to exploring some of these things that I've laid my eyes on over the years. Everything has been special to me in strength. Therefore, I was really motivated to go maybe at a younger time in my life than normal, 13 years old, traveling on trains, going to New York Barbell, training in the Elizabeth YMCA, which was just a place to train, but it was a great place. There were people coming through there, Dave Draper, a host of people that later on became famous, David Shaw, Anthony DiTillo was my training partner, Desi Bonlocki, the tight tan slacks of Des O'Ban. That was my mentor, and I didn't take them for, you know, just they were my friends, they were my training partners, they were my mentors. I got to learn the pace that they lived their life at, and what they did weren't when they were not taking these pictures of Desi stiff leg deadlifting 475 for reps, or Anthony doing huge seated presses and things like that. I got to know them as people, got to know the real motivation, got to know them as friends. I mean, as someone who truly cared about my well-being, and I cared about theirs more than just lifting a big weight.
Well, let me ask you this. when you met, I mean, obviously, you know, back in the day, and I know the gyms were different too. I mean, I'm not going to say there wasn't competitiveness, but I've had people on that were that trained, you know, maybe a little ahead, you know, after your era, but not that far off. And they said there was a different style. There's a camaraderie. The, you know, the guys were literally wanted to see you do well. What was your first experience when you met Anthony DiTillo? And I mean, obviously, I'm looking at that picture of when he was probably like 330, but I've seen pictures of him down lower where he was still gigantic. What was your first meeting with Anthony, and what impression did you draw literally when you first met him?
Okay, back in the day, we weren't as mobile as we are today.
Right.
We had permission from a wonderful family to take their entire basement and turn it into a gym, and it was all handmade equipment except a few pieces, some Jackson weights, some York barbells. But we trained up to 25 people at a time in this gym. We had a great time. But actually, as time went on, we're game to lift. On a Saturday, we walked the 5 miles to Elizabeth YMCA and mm-hmm. lift, and then turn around and walk back 5 miles and get maybe a slice of pizza on the way home. And that was our yep. big Saturday for us.
Yep.
Well, when we had finally had my license, I was able to get around a little bit. So we decided on a more regular basis, a friend of mine or two, to go to the Elizabeth Y. Now, you have to understand, this was as old school a place as you've ever seen. I could see it now. The big burly guy sitting at the door, Bob, who never had a last name, but he was Bob. And if he saw you 1,000 times, you better show your card.
Yep.
Even though you knew him for years, he'd hit that buzzer, which I'd never forget. You walk into a room that had one air vent, no air condition, solid oak planking floor, globe barbells, wooden power racks, narrow benches with narrow, very shallow cups on the bench for bench pressing, York's 75-pound Olympic plates, which I've never seen another set in my life. Mm-hmm. Guys walked in old school, what I call old school. They were mostly in cut-off flannel shirts. A lot of them lifted in their, I don't know, their blue jeans like I still do today.
Yep.
Desi was a very neat person, very organized, but the only thing I've ever saw him in my life other than the gray sweatpants that were actually worn through from the bar doing high pulls and shrugs in a brown shirt was the one day I saw him in his tan slacks when he came to my birthday
yep.
party.
Yep.
Well, there was a gentleman we ran into that he had just a sparkling personality and did most everything in the rack. He did no Olympic lifting. He thought so highly of Desi that everything Desi would say, positive or in a negative fashion, the criticism was well taken. But mm-hmm. we all were so cordial when we see each other. There was more posturing with the young people. A gentleman I saw on Facebook the other day, I competed against in the discus throw. And actually,
okay.
when he would leave, he would be lifting, and if I showed up early, he would leave. Or
mm-hmm.
if he lifted a big weight just to show me, he would leave it on the rack just to show notice
yep.
that he's moved up. But
yeah.
there was a lot of posturing with the young guys. The older guys were very friendly and supportive of each other. It was no real clannish kind of thing.
Yep.
Anthony, he lived a very simple, meager terms. You know, he lived in one big family house type thing back very common back in the day.
Yep.
He always wore. I'm thinking if I ever saw him in a t-shirt or a sleeveless shirt. Basically, I remember a blue and white checkered flannel that he wore almost all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I had extremely deep pecs. Big shoulders, big traps. Didn't do much leg work. The only pulling I've ever saw him do was what we call a triplex pull, which is a pull off the blocks with a hard shrug at the end.
Yep.
And we kind of refined it where it was a 9 total sets, and each three sets were done in a slightly different way. And and it was very effective, and we worked up to huge poundages on the last three sets. But that is the only thing I recall in the years that I trained with him. I never saw him do a deadlift off the floor. I saw him maybe once or twice do shrugs in the power rack, which we widened. I widened for him. It was only like 4 inches between the red wooden uprights, and I moved it out where we had a rebound pad, which was extremely helpful. Anthony would he experimented a lot. He had a real gift for writing. He had such a nice demeanor about him. No one disliked him. Now, they thought he was crazy, and they thought sometimes that he was would use every weight in the gym, and they'd have to stand around and wait for him. He was just a special person. I always knew that. I didn't think of him as becoming big time because we're all the same fish in the same small tank, the Elizabeth YMCA. But I think he had quite an impact on the world because he was so far ahead of the curve on the use of a rack, especially when we widened it. He really went wild on it then. He stayed in the rack almost exclusively. Did a lot of seated presses, shoulder presses, not much standing, not much deadlifting, very little squatting, as I remember, maybe some partials, heavy partials in the rack, but not much else.
But he was huge, too. I mean, it was like, you know, I'm trying to think. I don't know how much he squat or what, but, I mean, how did he hold such mass on him? His legs weren't small by any means. Well, I remember reading an old article in Iron Man, I think it was, and it was pretty interesting because you don't think about it, but I've been doing it a lot lately. He used to get, like, the heaviest core liniment he could find, and he had a big article about building calves one time. His friggin' calves are gigantic. They look like footballs. And he said what he do in between sets is he used, you know, that liniment on it. And I've been doing that, like, if I had been doing with shoulder work or anything like that. And obviously, you know, you're drawing a lot of blood in with all the heat from that and everything. But I just thought stuff like that was ingenious what he came up with.
Like I said, a lot of the stuff that people thought was different, strange, weird, I've always tried to think out of the box. I could see where he was going with a lot of it. Some of it worked, some of it didn't work. And I both myself and Anthony were chastised heavily by Desi because Desi was a European, I think, one of the best Olympic weightlifters of his time. And he was, you do this and nothing else, period. And if you're doing sit-ups when he says that workout's over, you better brace yourself. And he would often just flat out say that's crap, or worse than that. But if you decided to go on with it, then he said would say you're digging your own grave kind of thing.
Because he
believed in not overworking. Anthony believed in lifting very heavy, partial repetitions, and he was built. The genetics in both he and his son are very similar, very solid people. There's people that are born with big forearms and calves that just have them. And it's not a proportional or linear thing that if my forearms are bigger than yours, that I'm stronger than you. It's not the way. It was a wonderful time. We laughed more than probably anything, but we were dead serious about our training. I learned a lot from all of them, and to the very end, when I did find out he passed, it was quite traumatic because I called up just to look him up, and of course his mother broke the news to me. And Anthony will be missed, and he's influenced through his writing just so many people. But I just feel like I've been so blessed to be there and actually see really what he did to develop his training techniques or his philosophy on lifting.
Yeah, well, and there's something I want to ask you, too. I've been asking people this a lot, and I get mixed, you know, you get stuff back that I'm not really sure. But I'm going to ask you a basic question, and it'll be interesting because you've been around it, you've been in it, and you still are. And I try to tell people, don't give me a standard answer if you can. And it doesn't have to be long or drawn out, but this is something I'm asking everybody. I'm asking myself this question every day, Richard, and I'm going to ask you this. Why do you lift? I know that's basic as hell, but tell me what comes to your mind first when I ask you that question.
I think it's for the pure love of it. I admire strength so much. Since my earliest days at 5 years old, I took a barbell to kindergarten. It's the coolest thing that I had for show and tell. I loved it since then. My father was very astute and he was interested in sports, but he was not a sportsman. But he supported me in every way he could. They couldn't understand the passion I had for this or the lengths I would go to lift or to see lifters. I was so inspired by that. I equated strength to the quality of life. If, if you could make yourself keep yourself up for lifting 50 years in a row, you could be up for life 50 years in a row and get somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I want to ask you this. I mean, I think your father might have passed away, but did your mother and father ever get to see the advent of Soren X? Did they ever get – I mean, I know probably not to where you are today, obviously, but did they ever get to see this dream, this passion that you had all those years as a little five-year-old boy? Did they ever get to share that with you?
They did not. Actually, my father passed in the year I started the business. Okay. They never fully understood totally really what I did, but they knew I had such a passion for lifting and discus throwing that it was almost a little bit beyond their reasoning that why I would go after it that hard. And my father said, really, he said, instead of getting a summer job, he says, you need to lift weights. He never took a weight in his life, and he never came to a track meet in his life, but he would follow me when there was pictures in newspapers or I would go to meet and come home with a trophy or something like that. He was so supportive in that way, but that was his way.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It comes from different sources than you think. I'm not out there to win something or beat something. I'm out there to totally enjoy the people I'm with, to see great things, to see the human body pushed to a level that you wouldn't think possible. And I see that, and I've been part of that. And if I could do something in any venue, the Olympic lifting, the grip, or whatever, that is some type of standard that inspires other people, what greater thing could hold my interest than that? I think it's just a worthy endeavor in life. It's not about beating somebody or winning something. I've found the true passion in my life that I've been more dedicated to that one thing of strength and helping others in strength, and it's sustained me my entire life. The greatest things that have ever come to me have come because of what my love of strength and lifting is.
Yeah, and what you've done.
It's like a perfect thing. It is.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, too, Bert and I were talking about this with, like, my business, how we feel it's like, just about ready to turn the corner now. And I've had other people that own them said, we've been right where you are. And, you know, you stay steadfast and true to what your beliefs are. But I think right now we're in a day and age right now, especially with kids. We need to have this type of attitude about that where, you know, you've got different people out there that can be mentors, that can teach, you know, that have had a lot of success through their life. And are very, you know, obviously passionate and very thankful for what we have. And the examples you give and the examples I've given in other people here is all true and it's all factual. You might not totally understand what we do, all right? But you've got to, you know, even people I know that don't lift weights, they still have admiration for what I do. They understand, you know, it's almost like to me, I think they kind of equate it because we've talked about this at numerous times. Whether they're like, you know, a niece or nephew's birthday or, you know, all, everybody's getting together for, you know, a big cookout, especially this time of year. And it always goes back with me, you know, because I can talk pretty much with anybody, with anything. I'm very lucky like that. But people love to talk about lifting with me. There will be people I don't even know that will sit down. And I think how they equate it, even if they don't do it or they do some type of other, whether it's a CrossFit or, you know, just to stay in shape, as they'll tell me. And then you'll have people there that do seriously lift. And I think they equate that with kind of almost like the Rocky saga, where, you know, it's this guy that's got everything against him, or he doesn't have a lot of people in his corner, but somehow, some way, and we're not talking about, okay, you can go out, there's guys that are going to win World's Strongest Man. There's going to be guys that are going to win big local meets. There's going to be guys that are going to win national meets. Same way with the girls, all right? But the way they see it is, here's this guy, like, if you could see my place, Richard, it's a one-car garage loaded with, you name it, all right? People say to me, how do you get another thing even in there, all right? That's the beauty of that place, all right? Then you got 95-foot driveway that the last third of it is all huge tires, stones I've made, some that are natural, et cetera, et cetera. So when you walk up my driveway, if the door is not open, you get the visual effect right away, what's going on around here, all right? And I think where they feel they have a tie-in with me is that thing. It's like, here's kind of like this underdog that wants to go to Iceland and finally get the monkey off his back. You know, here's a guy that trains by himself and we admire it. Will we want to do it? Probably not. Here's a guy that goes out in 20 below weather, whether he's got heat or not, and has bars stick to his throat. Now, I'm not advocating people to do stuff like that. That's me. That's the way I operate, all right? But I operate at a level where it's like no holes barred. I mean, I got into this because I love it, totally. That's my main objective with this. The second objective, obviously, is to get this out to the masses like you and I are talking about. We want people that never heard of Anthony DiTillo. Go look this guy up, okay? But the main thing is right now, show that you've got more on the inside that you can give than this outside look where people see initially. And I just feel if you can do that and you can bring people into that tent with you and influence them in a way, you know, we don't know what we're going to produce down the road. You could, you know, whether they're a champion trainer or they're out being entrepreneurs, because I push entrepreneurship off this show. I've had people on here and we're probably going to have more on. I want to develop people that can think and go out and do great things. It doesn't necessarily have to be weightlifting, but I would tell you to do that because that's been the catalyst that's driven me for everything. If I didn't have this all these years and with some of the personal things that happened and all that, I could have cracked, I think, real easy. So I just think that the base for me, all my horsepower lies in the iron and stone. And because of that success, I could bring that out to my personal life and to those others around me.
I think that's very well put. I think that I often wonder why each time someone enters a gym or their training facilities or they're able to put up with harsh training conditions, what their motivation is, how close it is to mine. I think each person has their own code by which they go at the same thing with. They're all using weights as a media to get stronger or to compete with one another, or even the camaraderie of being together is a big part of it. But I think each has in their heart a battle that they've tried to conquer their whole life. I was a large child, and I never really the ways that it was about the time that the President's Council came out, and you know, I couldn't really run very far. I couldn't do many pull-ups because I was pretty good sized boy. And I felt so bad. And in my mind, I decided that strength was attractive to me. That was something I didn't exactly have the endurance end of it. And when I started lifting, life started changing a lot. Maybe I didn't understand why it changed, but it did. I never equated my success, which was my first love in Olympic lifting, with my success in track and field, which landed me scholarships in many schools, that my life was the first time anyone in my family had gone off to college or out of my high school received a scholarship. But I didn't understand the cause and relation with what lifting had, that it seemed like the stronger I became and more explosive, the better I did in track and field. I wish I understood that then. I would have done probably better. But it was what was driving me, and the people around me were very supportive. And there were a few that told me, you're too tall to lift, go play basketball. But the few that I looked up to took the time to say, hey, kid, you're doing a good job, or hey, let's take a picture together after they just set a world's record and they should be doing other things. But they gave me that moment of their life, which has sustained me for many, many years. I have customers coming back and students coming back after 40 years telling, wanting to continue their weightlifting that I showed them in fifth grade. So proud of that. Or a doctor, the only thing he hangs in his office is a little weightlifting award I cut out of paper because he was the best lifter in fifth grade. Now he owns a complete a medical complex, and that's the only thing he hangs on his wall because he said everything has come from that.
That's amazing.
And I was slack-jawed, and this was just the other day. And my training partner, for the maybe 5 years ago I heard from him, the one that also came along with me to Anthony's, he told me, well, I passed a kidney stone last night, but I went out for a three-mile run next morning. I said, he was tough as hell then, and he's tough as hell now. And that little bit of spark of all that I left or we shared back in those days has sustained for almost half a century. There has to be good in that or more in that than simply having a dusty trophy, which after a while, you don't even remember what it's for.
No, but you know what it is? It's like when you give somebody something with your heart and you impress upon them that they're important, that they do matter. Because I usually say this at the end of the shows, Richard. I'd be like, if someone singles you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, don't be afraid to give them a little bit of time, because you never know, like you're saying, that little thing you cut out, what that influences on. You know, 40 years later, they could be a captain of industry. They could be, like you, owner of the best equipment company out there. Who knows what you could spark? And we discount those things. And, you know, my mom used to say to me when we were kids, and I've never forgotten it, you know, there's some things your parents say to you and never forget. And this was one of the main ones from her, was this: never, never be afraid to say hello to somebody you don't know or give them a smile, because that might be the only, you know, time anybody even gives them in that day. And I, you know, now that I'm older, I think about that, and how sad is that to think that there are people out there like that? And I notice it more and more because I'm a big observer. I love to watch people, and I go a lot of places, you know. And, you know, I got to tell you, and I don't know if you've seen this, that you look at people's eyes and look at a lot of people running around. To me, they look lost and lonely, and I see it more and more, and it's not in my head. And I'm like, only, you know, I understand life can take you multiple directions, but you know, you have the opportunity to stop it. You have the opportunity to change it. And why aren't you changing it? And why are you in situations that you don't like that are driving you? Literally, most people get driven insane from it. And I'm saying to myself, if only we could get them to just get into physical strength. If you're not, you know, chances are looking at them, they probably aren't. If only we could get you thinking on a different note. If only, like you were saying, why can't we surround you with people that are of high caliber and high achievement, and why couldn't we bring you into there? I just think, like I stated in the beginning of the show, we've got a lot of stuff going on out there, and it can really have a pronounced negative effect on you. And I feel in my time, not that I've lifted, you know, a long, long time, but I've lifted enough couple decades over that to know this is the ability to build strength, even though, like you were saying too, that, you know, you don't know when you're doing it, you don't maybe grasp the whole thing, understand it, but there's kind of like something propelling us. It's like a magnet pulling us. And, you know, say then we're 50 years old and we're saying, you know something, all this training I did, I know in some way or another has got me to where I am. And I just think that when you can share stuff like that and be responsive like that, I just think everybody wins. And I just hope that we can get more and more people to to understand what we do, to understand the achievements we have, and most of all, to make their own life, to carve their own path. As I say, through the forest, you make your own path and keep going.
It's not so much as we discussed before.
Yep.
It's not the what. We all have the barbells or machines available or some sort of resistance. It's not that pure thing of lifting that weight, but the mindset that's tied to it and the giving and sharing of your knowledge or your passion of a positive thing that's quantifiable, but to be able to have enough will to deadlift, let's say, 500 pounds,
correct.
There's other positive things happening in your life. You have the will to get up for work. You have the will to take good care of your wife or family or whatever. You have the will to want to make a better life. It's not the pure joy of lifting. It's the strength of character. It's what you pass on as a legacy to others that has made your life better. It's not the weights or the media or they're the what, but it all consists of the end result is the why. Why all this occurred? Why did we decide to use weights as a building of not only muscle but of mind and heart?
Yep.
And when that revelation comes to you, then you do have peace within you, and you could do other great things. I have a number of our people that they work 8 hours a day and they're paid for it, but they at the end of the day decide to come down to our facility and work out, and they want to learn the right way. And they see why they get stronger, and they're starting to put it together. And that enlightenment has made our company better, has made our people better. It's had them want to live healthier lives. God bless those barbells down there. I love them.
I'd
sure rather see somebody coming in there every afternoon wanting and hungry to learn because they see the positive. If they can see an old man drag his butt in there at 65 and train, they know that there's something ahead that they still could have that if they want it.
Absolutely.
And that's the magic of it to me.
Yep.
It's given me discipline. It's given me an unfaltering love return from a passion I've had. And weights never let me down. They might have beat me around, but they've never let me down.
I agree with you. I'll tell you what, if I was a superintendent of schools, I'll tell you one curriculum we'd have, I'd call it Will 101, and every kid would learn. You need that, and you need the reinforcement, and I'm telling you right now, anybody that I'm training my buddy's son, he's 14. He's never really touched a weight other than, him and his buddies doing bench pressing. And he's over 6 feet, and he's very good in basketball, but at 145, he's getting shoved around. So I've had him 7 weeks, and I pretty much started him on all strongman stuff. Mainly sandbags, a few lighter rocks. But, like you said, if you knew a little bit more back then with the discus, I wish I knew what I know about carrying. I think carrying is one of the most magnificent things you could ever do with weight training, and it goes. I can take that and convert it to anything else I want. And I have a 95-foot driveway, so obviously once we can get kicked in, right, I'll be carrying my stones up and back or however we set barrels to load them and then add plates, et cetera, et cetera. It's pretty unique stuff we're doing. And I started them last week with, your diamond bar, and that was the first time he's really done any weights here, and I started him with that. That was melded in with, I got him using the Apollon axle too. And, I want to have him up to at least 155 by the time September rolls around because he is at basketball camps during the summer. I don't want to spread him too thin because, as we know, it doesn't matter if you're 14 or 40. You get overtrained, you end up getting hurt. I don't want any of that stuff. But what I've seen with him is like a metamorphosis already where he's kind of a quiet, reserved kid, nice kid, nicely mannered, really catches on quick. But now he's starting to kind of come out of his shell more and more. And I had him initially go out and buy the book Think and Grow Rich. And a reason why I did that is, the finance part is fine. But you read that book as many times as I read it, you'll know that verbatim, and Napoleon Hill – You know, he really had some stuff out there. And it's the little things like that. Like I told him, I tell him his father, whether he continues lifting the rest of his life, and I hope he does, at least he's going to have a good base. He's going to know how much, you know, plates weigh. He's going to know how to load a bar properly, et cetera, et cetera. Things that you and I might take for granted. But, you know, how many people do we know that walk in an establishment and don't know where the hell they are? Get hurt, or you got these clowns that are supposed to be helping you that, you know, I've been in gyms where you see these guys, you know, to me they're bullies. You know, they laugh at people. If that's what you're doing, get the hell out. You know, you don't belong there in that business. But I tried to establish these things, and you know what the beauty of all this is? 7 weeks are in, and I see all these changes. Now, I'm going to have him on a podcast next month. And one of the reasons I keep doing this is I want him to be a leader. I want him, you know, maybe he'll be a leader of business someday. We've already talked. He's interested in strongman. Get him up to about $180 over the winter. We'll enter him in a meet next spring, you know. All these things. I've got him now looking to the future. And I think these things are just vital. And like I said to him, you know, as my father always used to say to me, he pounded this into my head, be a leader, not a follower. So, you know, it's just so important if you can leave your brand on somebody and they can do the right thing. You know, if you touch one person's life, that's more than most people do in multiple lives. So that's why I think it's so vital to do what we do.
If you could, the first time, I don't know if you've seen it or not, but the first time he has that look, what I call it, the look in his yep. eye, that means yep. he is changing. As in my son, I always try to encourage him to do things that would sustain him through life or be fun or that we could share together, but I never forced him. I never wanted him to be a copy of me. I wanted him to be a blend of me and something better.
Yep.
And when that look of determination towards that barbell becomes that same look as he addresses life, or he learns, I think one of the greatest things I learned as a teacher was, you know, everyone's a winner. Well, there's that's not a true statement. You want everyone to do as well as they can for as far as they want to take it or they're physically able. But I always used, instead of having two people in the class that could do 10 pull-ups and the rest couldn't do any, I'd rather have an entire class that could do a couple.
Right.
Weightlifting classes all through for every child that I taught, every fifth grader in my entire school, I had 25 fifth grades, knew how to clean and jerk and snatch. That means male and female as well, but you're showing them a way that they could focus on a particular iron object the same way they could focus on their books or becoming more active or like to see that they're bigger and stronger and they're doing better with other things in life. We have that power to do that. I see it so important. And to modify the program, as I've always done with lifting, I should have been in my earlier days more sports specific, but I was not. And that would have helped me. But what I really try to do, I try to get an exercise that combines almost like Kaz when he wrote his series of short books, almost power bodybuilding moves to give him the muscle mass he needed in World's Strongest Man and powerlifting. So little subtle changes. If you want to change the Olympic clean, even though I love doing those, but if you want to change it where it's easier for everyone to benefit from and do, being smart enough to modify your program or to see where it's leading and the rest. The rest, many world champions, I've said, what's the most important thing in your workout? Give me the big answer, what's the lift? And they look you straight in the eye and say, resting. I was floored.
Yeah.
Because if you do the right thing in the gym just enough and you feed that organism, which is your body, and you rest it, and you come back and you'll be able to fight stronger and be ready to fight sooner, you're going to win. So lifting weights is just a lesson in life. It's not a just the end of the gold ring at the end of the trail.
Yep.
It's just a way. It's a river that flows in a good direction, and that's why I'm glad I'm a part of that kind of thing.
No, obviously, I want to ask you a question. I mean, I don't know if you can give a definitive person, because I'm sure you have more than one. Who would you? All right, I guess I'll say this. Who would be your favorite strongman? Say. 25 years ago, and who do you like today? If you can name, you know, two people, one in the back era, one in 2015.
Well,
who would you...
it was funny that on the internet there was a picture of Kaz doing his double deadlift with 975, a silver dollar deadlift. At that time, I was very good at that kind of thing, and I was even thinking in the back of my head, heck, I might could have done that. Well, I see the picture of him doing it. I remember and recall everything about it. It was an unbelievable lift. He did. He so not intimidated people, but he was so far and above physically, his attitude, his equipment, than anyone else. But I look in that crowd now, and I see John Cuck standing in the crowd next to me, and it never dawned on me that he was there, one of the greatest powerlifters, deadlifters of all time. And he was standing in the lockout position as Kaz locked the weight out. I was in the background looking on, and I was seeing these things, this lightning overhead flashing. I was seeing him so angry for missing an attempt because he put it down too heavily. So he went up 100 pounds and doubled it. I was like starstruck. Kaz was probably the closest to the total strength athlete that I've ever seen. There were bigger people. There were smaller people that were more what you call strength fitness that were able to run faster or carry loads great distances. But for pure strength, Kaz, he had it all and really made it a science. Back in the day, that was very impressive. On the Olympic end of it, I saw the wonder, they call him the ninth wonder, Bob Bednarski. He has so inspired me, and to me, he took time in his life to share with me that probably lasted me 50 more years.
Wow.
And I can never thank people like that enough. In the modern days, I've been around all the strongmen because we build and design things for strongman contests or specialty needs. And they're real people. They're not just giant monsters. And really the top of the heap, they have nothing to prove because they know and respect what strength is. The young bucks that run around still are not sure who they are, and they want to have one step higher up, whether it be standing on your neck or whatever. And if that's being what they say, I don't like to curse, but being a badass, they don't know what being a badass is.
Right.
It's being a man, being a good father, paying your bills, showing up on time and respecting your workout partner's time, unloading the bar, doing things that seem not so grand, but are making you a true man and making a difference. I think because of the media today, people are more distant. I'm speaking into a iPad here, and I wish I was looking you straight in the eye because it would be a different experience.
Absolutely.
I think the modern guys are starting to come around, and I see more and more deadlifts, which there's very few ways to get around the deadlift being done. There's a lot more raw lifting. When you're sitting around with the world's strongest men backstage or whatever, they're nice people. They're nice to each other. But when they go out there, they lay their guts on the line. They're not posturing all the time. They're not doing whatever it is to see how much they could cheat. They're doing whatever they can to do their best.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference.
Well, let me ask you this. Zydrunas Savickas, obviously Brian Shaw won this year, but I don't know. I mean, do you still see them 1-2? I know Thor is in the mix, but I don't know, unless the Drunas breaks down, and I don't know what will happen with Brian Shaw. Who do you see knocking those two off?
Well, Zdrunas has been around it so long, and really has had he's probably the strongest human that I've seen per se. I've seen him do things that, knowing the mechanics of lifting, knowing what the human body could do, he surprised me more than almost anyone. He knows how to train. He knows how to use his mind. In a recent article, I was credited by Brian Shaw for starting him in Strongman. That's something I'm very proud of. But I know what good is, and I saw good things in him. And he was weighing about 260 then, and I said, we need to get you thinking about at least what you could excel at, which I saw as Strongman. Yeah. And he took it literally and went after it. And I was just so proud that he took that little bit of time I spent with him, and it changed his life, and he became one, if not the greatest of all time, is going to be. He uses scientific training. He is a well-mannered young man, a big young man. He gives back, and he puts it all in perspective. He's not just walking around intimidating people. He'll take the time to have a conversation or sit down and have a meal with you, or just ask you a question, which, why are you asking me? You're the strongest guy in the world. he has that humbleness to him. He has that goodness to him. Brian has all the things you would need, maybe to grow a little bit more, to be even undoubtedly the strongest of all time. I think he still has room to get better. Zdrunas, I think he's put in enough time and enough grinding on heavy loads. It has to somehow, some way, finally taper down. But he takes it with grace. Like I said, I've never seen people more impressed by a being than Kaz. I've never seen a person do things that humanly almost shouldn't be possible, as I've done with Big Z, seen with Big Z, and I've never saw more potential, ongoing potential, as I've seen in Brian, and just bringing quality and fineness to being a strong man and a good man.
So we're talking there. He has a potential maybe three in a row, four in a row.
They're working. I mean, they're working. They have to certainly work for it, and it does take a little bit of luck.
Absolutely.
I think, like, for Brian, he's smart enough and humble enough to work his weak spots, because that's where it's going to catch you. A lot of people ignore things that they don't do well at, and the reason they don't do well at them, they just don't work it.
And a lot of people don't want to admit they've got weak spots, and they don't bother with them.
Right. I mean, getting even back to Anthony, there are certain things that Anthony would disappear when we would start doing, because he wasn't great at him. I think how much better he would have turned out, let's say, in his lower body being as massive as his upper body.
Well, I was going to say, if he's not set up for the squat, I don't know who is.
Well, but like I said, he was not a big squatter, and he did partial movements, and he had great genetics. But possibly, where could he have taken it? I don't recall him ever entering a powerlifting meet. Because he just loved the training. He loved the personal challenge of learning and experimenting, and his friends. His friends' support meant the world to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I want to ask you too, John Powell, our friend from Iceland. It was always, you know, in the days it was him and Kazmaier. Right. What are your thoughts on him? I mean, he was a hell of an explosive, strong man. What do you think?
Go ahead.
But, I mean, I've heard it a number of times. He was the greatest ever, et cetera, et cetera. I guess that depends on who you talk to. What are your thoughts on him?
John Paul, I probably, over the last 30 years or so, I've had less contact with him than any of the other ones. I know most of the other ones and been around them on a personal basis, John Paul was a strength athlete, okay? He was very fit. He perceived himself as a Viking. He did. That attitude is very good for doing heavy or extended bouts of strength feats. I don't think he was the strongest of all time. I think at the time, a lot of the events, just to change things up in the strongman, became events that he was an extremely handsome man. He was well-mannered. He was hit fire. I think a lot of the events agreed with him and gave him a chance over, let's say, a 400-pound man that could move 1,500 pounds 3 feet but couldn't run a quarter mile with 220. So John Paul, I see as a great person. I see him as a great competitor, strength athlete, not just purely strong. I don't see him as one of the top, just pure force or strength people, but as a well-rounded strength athlete. The world's strongest man, to me, is something more related to some of the things you see, let's say, at the Arnold, where absolute heavyweights, it's the most weight that, or object that can be moved a short distance of time, not carrying it for a great distance. That's cool, pulling a ship up a ramp, but is that strength or is that strength endurance?
Exactly.
So, yes, John Paul was probably the greatest in that vein of let's say, a fairly heavy weight, moved quickly, moved with grace, requiring certain components like a great grip. Was he the greatest of all time? From what I saw, I don't think so, but he was right up there. Because he was a very popular guy.
He had charisma. And to think he went down, at least he went down what he was, deadlifting, he dropped dead. But, it's like... people, when they hear that, it's like, well, it beats sitting in a hospital bed getting fed with a tube. I'd much rather go that way with something you love to do. But let me ask you, we got a couple minutes still, Richard. I hear this back and forth all the time, and we see the size of these men now in WSM. Could Bill Kazmaier compete today in 2015 with these guys?
Well, his body weight when I was around him most was about 330.
Right.
He, gosh knows, could you pack more muscle on someone? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think if I still saw him do some things that like Z, I didn't really think were humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would rise to any occasion he could.
Mm-hmm.
He was a lot smarter. When you sit down and the last thing he talks about is strength training and weightlifting or whatever when you're around him. He loves hunting, camping, fishing, being with his son. He loves track and field. He tells me about dreams that he had that the next day when he woke up, he followed that dream where that led him. He's a very, very intelligent man and fearsome. But he has a good side to him. I told him not too long ago, I said, you're more of a man now than you ever were when you're lifting those giant weights because he's helping others.
Yes.
He's accepted religion on his own terms. He said, after my days of being invincible were over is when I started making some money because I started sharing with others and they saw value in it. Before that, it was all about Kaz, and he kind of lamented. He says, I wish I had that vision, but maybe he wouldn't have been as great as he was.
That's what I was going to say. It's very hard when you're that focused on something to really see what's out beyond there. And that's always been, you and I both know, sometimes in some ways you have to be selfish when you're doing, when you're going after something really big and you just have to, it's got to be about you in some ways to a point, because I think if you got too many oars in the water, you just can't get it done.
No, but there has to. The big problem is now I won the Olympics. Or I'm world's strongest man. Now what do I do? What is the
exactly
next hit of adrenaline going to outdo that? And then when you don't see that anymore, are you a lost soul? But if you realize that all matter all people and matter changes. It's always in a state of flux. So is your life. That you realize when your competing days are over, it just doesn't end. It flows into something else. And unless it flows easily and you accept that change and you embrace it and add that energy you had to deadlift 900 pounds and add that into changing some people's lives or doing a good job or being a good father, then you're going to come to an abrupt halt. Was Kaz the best? I think the strong, like I said, the strongest I've ever seen was Adronis. He is a polished, wonderful athlete. Another man comes, Benny Magnuson. Thank God. I got to actually see with my eyes one of the two dreams I had in my life. Would anyone ever deadlift over 1,000 pounds, especially the way he did it? Raw, no hook grip, standing on our platform. I'm proud of that. And I saw something that I at 15 years old, I was dreaming, is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
And to get to actually see it, I mean, the human being moving a half a ton, that's just, to me, that's just like, wow, a dream coming true. It's how people, I think, what they take, it's not them embracing training or strength or rocks or whatever, but it's growing through that medium and becoming a better person or more in tune with yourself. I know now what to do if I have to grip something or whatever. I know I've trained my body enough where I could summon adrenaline in my body when I need to. Maybe the gifts that God gave me as when I was conceived or when I was a young man to have certain attributes that maybe I didn't have to work for, but that were there and ready to be developed should I had chosen to, which I did. So there's greatness in everyone. We just have to accept the long haul, not the short haul.
No, without a doubt. And I'll tell you, when you say like the adrenaline, it's one, and I know exactly, the people, unless they've done this stuff, they don't understand the feeling of lifting a big object. And it just seems to just set your whole body on fire, literally. It's the best way I could describe it. It's like your mind is working, your muscles are working, your heart is ripping, man. And it's like, it's a feeling that, there's nothing like it. I mean, it's like, how do you put that feeling down? That's a thing that we all face at some point. But I've looked at it this way. I'm in this for the long haul. I hope when I'm 100 years old, if I'm lucky to live that long, you know, I hope I could still squat 250. All right, maybe more. I don't know. I don't even want to set limitations on me. Or, you know, I could go out and lift that 250-pound stone with ease. Those are the things that I'm looking at because that's what it's about. Because, you know, I love the feeling. I love that adrenaline rush. I love that camaraderie, the competition. But there's going to come a day when things might change and you don't know. And for me, that is going to – I mean, you've got a lot more experience with this. But for me, I'm just telling you where I'm sitting right now, it's going to be a hard thing for me. There's times now that, you know that – you're lifting big things and you're saying, okay, well, do we got a few more years left, you know? And then after that, well, I'm sure I'll find something else to do because that's the way I work. But in the present where I'm living right now, enjoy everything you got because, you know, as my mother always says, life's a little shorter than you think. And I think that's what it's all about. And I celebrate this every day. And you know, via the show and everything, we're getting all this information out and helping people. This is what it's all about. And I never thought that little kid that was 10 years old with a wooden bench and cracked sand weights would be where he is right now. And I just want to tell everybody, like you said, Richard, everybody's got greatness in them. And this is why I do things with have people come on who are entrepreneurs, business owners, push it, because anybody that's sitting on the fence right now, don't be afraid to do it. You're going to go through some hard times, believe me. But in the end, when you turn around, you won't go back to what you were doing and you will have success. And that goes with lifting and your personal life. But I can't stress it enough. If you haven't ever lifted weights, go find somebody that can teach you. you know, reach out. I'll help you. Anybody, Richard can help you. There's plenty of people out there that be more than willing to give their time to you. But the bottom line is it's your responsibility. You got to shoulder that responsibility and take action. You can do that. You can do anything. Richard, we're going to wind up. If there's any thoughts that you'd like to give us before we sign off and any information with Sorenex or anything,
well,
give it all. And just hang on the line when I'm done. I want to talk to you briefly.
Sure.
If you would.
I certainly want to thank you for taking the time to chat. And as I said, I entered my 65th year. I have actually goals still this year, which I want to do. That yep. not are maybe the greatest lifts in the world for me or someone else, but something that gives me focus and makes me want to move ahead. I've taken the pride that I've stuck to it long enough to deadlift 500 pounds or more every year for 49 years. Now this year, I almost made it at my birthday, but I still have a year ahead of me to haul that up. I have goals set, which are not the highest fruit on the tree, but something that proves to me that I've been loyal to lifting. To see you talk about walking and carrying things, we have kettlebells outside the door of the office, which everyone in the building, this building's 1,098 feet,
oh, wow.
I carried a pair of 70s and 36s in each hand, kettlebells.
Yep.
And I was running with them the other day. What old dude does that? But it's fun, and it engages people, and it shows them yes. when they walk in the door that we're more about selling the idea of being healthy and fitness than selling a product or copying something to make a buck.
Yep.
This is a lifestyle. This is what I've chosen to do with my life. The ones that want to sign up and go with it, good luck to you. But at 65, looking back, I wouldn't have changed anything. I'm honored by the people I work with and honored by the things that we sought to make maybe it safer or better in the world of lifting to reach your dreams. But
yeah.
I'll kind of leave it at that.
Okay. This is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by Dr. William Wands Essentials. That's www.docpreferred.com. Go out and check him out. He'll be on Friday with us. Another wealth of knowledge. We enjoy him immensely. He loves coming on the show. Next, we got Evil Monkey Enterprises. Go out, talk to Melody. 25% off any custom equipment. When you mention Motivation Muscle, go out to www.evilmunkyent.com. Tell her we sent you. Next, we got Sorenex. That's www.sorenex.com. You can call them at 803-978-2253, extension 111. Tell Bert, if you do talk to him, that Eric sent you. He'll know who I am. Next, we got our free ebook. Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. Go out to www.fiorellabarbellco.com. Check it out. I think you'll be very happy with it. Like I said, it's very simple, very straightforward, and that's the way we operate here totally. It doesn't cost you a dime. Check it out. Well, be on the lookout for our winner circle. That's going to be very involved. There's 12 modules, training, ideas. Anything you need is sitting right there. Take a look at it, think about it, implement it, and most of all, take action with it. And I guarantee you, you will have great results. Obviously, we talked about sponsorship here. Go out to www.fiorellabarbellco.com or Motivation Muscle. Click on sponsorship. You can go out and see the whole thing. We want to obviously promote you, your business, your product, and obviously, we are an up-and-coming show that is, we have over 60,000 listeners right there, right now. So, I mean, I've grown this place very big in the last 2 years, and we're coming. And last but not least, Chris Bigelow is the gentleman that does all the work here, www.monsterdevelopment.com. You can call them at 800-687-1609. Tell Chris I sent you. We've already had people go out and talk to him. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. www.fiorellabarbellco.com, www.motivationmuscle.com, We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Write us a review. Let's see. We are on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. We're on Twitter at Fiorello Eric. If you'd like us to do a show, if you like Richard and I to do a show, go out to Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.RR.com. Put down what you want, and I'm sure I can get this gentleman to do something with me. And I want to read everybody something before we sign off. I don't really beat my chest a lot, but the last few days we've got some really great emails. And I want to read one. I'm not going to give his last name. His name's Rich because he didn't give me permission. And I don't like doing anything like that. First time I've ever heard from him. Dear Eric, saw you on YouTube. Now I'm hooked on your podcast. Really enjoying it. Can you tell me if the first 50 episodes are available? iTunes doesn't have them available. Dr. Ken Leisner would be a great guest. Any plans to do a tour of your garage gym? Best wishes, Rich. This is what we're getting every day. I got a guy from the UK. His name was Jamie yesterday. And, I mean, this guy, I could read it, but the accolades he was laying on me on the show, I thank everybody for that because, as Richard and I talked about on this show, the idea is helping people. I'm making the mark here with everybody. I couldn't be happier. That's all I can say. I've got his right here. Just a quick message. Keep up the good work. I work on the road and regularly listen to the podcast. Recently, you've had some excellent guests, very informative and knowledgeable. I really enjoyed the Dimitar Savinov episode. Please try to get Magnus for Magnuson or Big Z or my fellow Brit Eddie Hall. I think they'd make excellent guests. Kind regards, Jamie. I just want to thank all you people that have sent these the voicemails, everything. I'm very proud of what we're doing here, and I'll be honest with you, I'm busting my ass every day to get more and more out here. I'm a lone guy here, and the lone wolf other than Chris, so there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, and I promise you I'm going to do my best. We have some big names lined up. I'm just waiting for confirmation, too. I'll leave you with this, three things. I said this in the show with Richard. If someone singles you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, don't be afraid to give them a little time and, help them out. You never know what could happen from just that meeting. Obviously, the second thing is, as my mom says, don't be afraid to say hello or give a smile to somebody. That might be all they get that day. I think that's sad, and it's all over the place. Last but not least, go out, lift some big hunks of iron today, and grab a stone and turn it into dust. Remember this, we're motivation and muscle, and here's the deal. We are domination, aggression. That's what we love here. We believe in what we do and everything we say. There's no BS here. Anybody that's on here has lived everything we talked about. So, Richard, thank you so much for being on the show. I just want to tell you, you are a credit to this sport, and I'll tell you right now, I appreciate you coming on here, and I pinch myself, believe me, when you come on here because I respect everything you do, and it's nice to have somebody on here that's got the class to tell it like it is, and I enjoy this immensely.
Thank you so much, Eric.
You're welcome, sir. So, for Richard Soren, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening to us. And I've got some more podcasts this week, and I'm going to get this show up as quick as I can. Have a great week, and go out and make a mark.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.